Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And if you know me at all, you know it's one of my favorite times of the week because I get to sit here and chat with you and to bring one of my favorite friends with me. Richard.
Good evening. Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. It's Richard, I think.
He hasn't hung me out to dry yet, have you? I figure one day I'm going to say hello, Richard, and he ain't going to be there.
You're dry enough as it is.
Oh, and it is so wonderful. And we are having a special guest tonight. If you get our email, you know that it is Max, the Crystal Skull. And for any of you who have had a session with Richard, you know that he teaches how to connect with the right side of the brain to consciousness, any kind of consciousness. And that's what's so incredible, because everything has consciousness. And he teaches you how to do this, and he demonstrates so ably on our radio show. And Max is here tonight. And Richard, do you want to say a few words about Max, how he originated, how we became involved with him?
Which bit? You mean how our relationship with him originated or how he originated?
I was thinking of our relationship with him. I'm getting so fond of this.
You know, I can't remember how it started. You probably got chatting to him over something. I can't remember how it arose. How did it come about? I've forgotten. Life rolls on. You know, those details get washed away.
Well, they really do, and it was something that I had become aware of, and the next thing you know, we were working with Max, and Max was sent to Earth to assist humanity, and he originated with the Syrians, and he has a memory of everything that went on Earth. It is one of the roles that crystals have, and that is what is so incredible, because when people ask Max questions, it's just amazing what he tells us, because it seems like no matter what topic people are speaking about, whether it's relationships with other people, the effect that love has on the human body, the topics just have no end. And if you follow our work, you know that if you see the image of Max and put it in your third eye and put your awareness into your heart center, you might be able to feel the consciousness of Max and feel the connection when Richard connects with him. Right now, the image of Max is very clear in my mind. And so, Richard, would you be kind enough to connect with Max and tell people again what his energy feels like?
You know, I find this very interesting. It's not just Max, but all of the various expressions of consciousness, you might say, that we work with on this show, because we kind of get to this point and it's like they flood me with their energy. It's quite fascinating. And Max has just done that. There's no kind of guessing what his energy is like. It just comes pouring in. It's fascinating. And so I experience him quite centrally, as I have said, really quite strong and clear. As I've said, it's very loving energy, which you might find a bit strange for a consciousness such as Max, but it is essentially a loving energy. And there is this almost singularity about it, slightly left of my center as I experience him. And so it is essentially love with a touch of wisdom, you might say. And I have to say that is very much the experience that we have of him as we work with him. He brings forth such compassionate and caring answers with such detail. Quite amazing. Such beautiful energy he has. Surprises me, I must say.
Well, I have to say, I've become so fond of Max. It is amazing when you think of that we are talking about the consciousness of a crystal that you could...
It's a bit bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, that you could feel this great love and compassion for the consciousness of a crystal. And I'll tell you what that shows me is we walk through life so many times unconscious of what is around us. And if we would only stop and become more aware, we can become very deep in the experience of living, of loving, of appreciation. And it's one of the things that has really grown in my perception when I start thinking of what we perceive as inanimate objects, because they're not. It opens up so many doors.
It does.
Really appreciate living, don't you?
Indeed. And not every crystal is as, you might say, I guess, compassionate and loving as Max is. We have worked with other crystals who, in some cases, can be quite arrogant.
Isn't that true? I'm thinking of one right now.
Indeed. I think we're thinking of the same one.
Hmm. I'm sure.
No name, no pack drill.
So I do think, though, Max has something that he wants to speak to our listeners about.
It is my pleasure to join you again on the radio show. I'm beginning to feel like a feature of the program. I have been here so often, and yet I know that you out there enjoy the contribution that I can make and am willing to make to any of you that come forth to ask me your questions. I enjoy these sessions in this way, and I also enjoy the longer sessions where people set up their own hour with me. They have been such fascinating sessions where we get into much more detail, you might say, than we can do in responding to questions here. And in overall terms, it is a joy for me because it does assist in my addressing a key aspect of my mission, which is to have humanity understand the truth of themselves and the history of this planet, the two being quite closely interwoven. So working in this manner on this radio show and with those sessions really is a way of fulfilling an aspect of my mission that I would not otherwise get to do. So it is a great pleasure for me to be here, and I do welcome any of you to call in and ask me whatever question you wish, and I will do my best to answer it for you.
Thank you, Max. I have been watching some videos of the origin of this planet. And when did you arrive? I know you arrived to help humanity, but did you arrive going back further in the history of the Earth, other than when humanity was here?
I did not come in a time prior to humanity. You might understand that in order for me, in a sense, to be preserved, it was necessary to be in a time when humanity was present. And even though there have been times when I have been lost to humanity, I was aware that that would not be a long-lasting event in my history. So I came, as I believe I expressed to you, in the time of Atlantis. And as you understand, that is quite late in the history of the planet from a geological perspective.
Would you say that that was about 200,000 years ago?
It would be less than 200,000 years ago when I came.
You were... This might sound... I find this so fascinating. Were you aware of your creation?
It is an interesting question because it raises an issue that perhaps not many contemplate, and that is the distinction between the item, you might say, where it has a physical form, and the consciousness that occupies it. In my case, the shape that I display was planned and it was created, and it was only after it was completed that I, as a consciousness, came forth to occupy that crystal, carrying with me the mission that I carry. And this then gets into the issue of how an expression of consciousness is created, because an expression of consciousness itself is created, and there are beings who understand how to create consciousness and do so. Indeed, there are expressions of consciousness that exist on every level of creation. For example, your cosmos exists within an expression of consciousness. And there are many layers of consciousness which exist within that overarching consciousness. But the specific consciousness that you might say I am coming forth and speaking with you in this manner was created by a powerful being of the light who understood the mission that I had and, you might say, created me for that purpose and sent me forth to join the physical crystal skull that had been created. Indeed, I was created before the crystal was completed, the skull was completed, and I waited until the skull was complete before I joined it. You might also appreciate understanding that even though I, as an expression of consciousness, am associated with the skull, I am not bound to remain within skull. Indeed, I can move freely wherever I choose, and indeed there are times when I do so. It does not mean that I lose my connection with the crystal itself. And indeed, I can continue to do the work that, for example, I am doing with you here. I could do this from anywhere, as you understand. But it is important that I spend a reasonable amount of my time, perhaps half of my time, within the crystal skull itself, because it helps to keep the connection, to keep the alignment in place that is important for me in fulfilling the mission that I carry. So perhaps this gives you some understanding.
Well, it does, and it raises another question. And the question that it raises with me is this. Humanity creates. We might build, erect a building, have some sort of project that we have created. I mean, there's endless things that humanity creates. Can members of humanity create a consciousness also?
It is not something which is currently done. What you do not understand is that there are many beings. Indeed, I would hasten to say many expressions of consciousness which act to support all that humanity does. And so, for example, if you build a house or you have a house built for you, that house itself has a consciousness. That consciousness is sent forth to occupy that house once it is completed, because it is an essential aspect of creation, that everything that is created has its own consciousness. And so there are those who take that responsibility as they interact and support humanity.
Well, that's very interesting, and it I love talking to you because you give me an answer and it raises another question. And it made me think of the house that you were talking about. And so the house that I live in, am I understanding this correctly? My house has a consciousness?
Indeed it does. In fact, every room has a consciousness. Every piece of timber, every brick in your house has a consciousness. And these all interact, interplay in ways that humanity today has forgotten. You might say does not understand, but there was a time when humanity understood all of this.
So in essence, I could connect to the consciousness of my house.
Indeed you can. Indeed you can. Just as you connect with the consciousness of any aspect of your physical body or your soul or your monad or all these other things that you so readily connect with, you can connect with the consciousness of your house or the property that you have there and so on.
That's exciting. And
I would add to this that there are many people who associate a personality with their car, for example. This is not as far-fetched as it might sound.
So could I ask the consciousness of my house to produce something for me, like peace and comfort and happiness?
Yes, you could ask the consciousness of your house to assist with those things. It is not the only factor at work, but it is an important factor at work.
Wow. I would like to invite our listeners to call in with their questions. I don't want to make this an individual conversation with Max. I want to offer the listeners the opportunity to call in with your questions. And that number is 888-627-6008 for U.S. and Canada. And I ask you to do this if you have a question, because this time passes by so quickly. And something, we have had a lot of flooding, Max, as you are probably aware, tornadoes. The weather has been very unpredictable. Can we speak to the consciousness of our house and either warn us of impending danger or else have the house in some way protect it from, say, a tornado, perhaps move the tornado to another spot away from the house? Is that possible?
You can do this, but rather more powerful would be for you to use intention. Use your intention that you will be safe and protected and that no violent storms will come your way, you might say. You can do this and do it easily, and it is better and more empowering if you use your own intention in this manner rather than seeking to use a third party, you might say. And if you are looking for assistance, say from a third party, rather than utilizing the consciousness of your house for such a purpose, you would be better to work with, for example, the elementals or indeed the consciousness of any storms that might be in your area, to communicate with the consciousness of those storms.
Oh, before I take the callers online, you just have said some things that are so powerful about connecting with the consciousness of the storm. And I want to examine that a little bit. Could we connect with the consciousness of a storm and find out ways that perhaps we can soothe the storm or direct it in an area that would not be cause havoc with people?
You can indeed do this, and I will add that there are those who are doing the opposite in your time, that is, interacting with and interfering with the weather patterns to make them more violent and more destructive than they would otherwise be. So in a sense, you are, if you take this path, acting to reverse those negative influences that are currently being conveyed to those storms. And what you are beginning to work with here is something which humanity has forgotten, and that is, in the time of Atlantis in particular, humanity understood how to control the weather, that indeed humanity was quite capable of producing what you might consider to be ideal climatic conditions continuously in areas where they chose to live, so that sufficient rain would fall at night to take care of the plants and so on, but it would not rain during the day and the weather was always temperate and pleasant. You might find this difficult to believe, but I assure you this was the case, and in many ways it was simply an extension of what we are discussing here with an individual storm. This ability, this understanding, will return to humanity as humanity begins to reclaim their power, begins to reclaim the truth of who and what they are as humanity passes through this transition, which is very, very close.
Thank you, Max. Can you give us a little input as to how intention works? Perhaps some thought about what intention has upon particles to bring forth the desired result that a person is seeking.
Intention effectively magnetizes particles. Not only particles, but indeed magnetizes the background energy, you might say, because the background energy is an expression of electromagnetic energy. And so in a way, it magnetizes that background energy and the particles that come forth from it to influence outcomes in your experience. This is an ability that some people have been able to activate to great degree in this time. However, in the time of Atlantis, it was far more powerful and will indeed be even more powerful than the experience in Atlantis as humanity goes forth.
Keeping in mind what you are telling us, it would behoove individuals that when they wake up in the morning to intend to produce during that day what they hope to accomplish. You know, we plan things, but we don't necessarily intend to do them. What do you think of that, Max?
I think that is an excellent suggestion.
Thank you. We have Yvonne from Connecticut on line one. Welcome, Yvonne. You with us, Yvonne? I guess Yvonne must have dropped off. One more chance, Yvonne.
No, hello?
Yes. Yeah, speak up, dear.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, great. My question is, I did the HARA protocol Actually, this morning.
And you mean what's on our website?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And that was really, you know, I felt very, you know, grounded. And but I had like an experience where, you know, connecting with Gaia, that I heard her asking me to help her. I know. Anybody else, I'd be locked up.
No, you wouldn't. We hear her. That's why I'm chuckling.
to help her, and there was a sort of like a urgency in her voice, and you know, so I just sort of asked. What did I ask? Oh, I just asked how, and there was just like I would remember, and I was just wondering if I really did hear that. Although I do hear my plant talk to me, if Max had any suggestions how I would do that.
Well, we'll ask Max that question, but before we do, Yvonne, why do you doubt that you heard her?
I don't know, but it was really very clear.
We human beings have a tendency not to deny our gifts and just how powerful we are. And maybe you need to ponder that a little bit, because Yvonne, we are all powerful beings. It's just we don't always use our power because we don't believe in it. But let's see what Max has to say. Max?
There was a conversation between Gaia and you. You do not need to doubt this. In fact, you have these skills alive and well within you, as you understand. And indeed, you can take what you already do with your plants and with Gaia and broaden it out. Indeed, you can communicate with me directly, if you wish, just by calling me forth, because you have activated these skills. So you may take this away from this call, and you might say, give me a call if you wish.
Oh.
And in relation to Gaia's request, I suggest that you reflect upon her request. In a way, she was expressing her concern, but in talking about remembering, what in a sense she was doing was actually calling you to remember what you already do in your sleep state, because those of humanity that are here to assist Gaia and other expressions of consciousness, and also to work with energies in this time, in most cases agreed to do this in their sleep state until they were sufficiently advanced to be able to begin to do it consciously. And you are already working with Gaia in your sleep state. So do not be concerned that there is something she is asking you to do that you are not already, because in fact you already are. It really was an encouragement from Gaia to begin to awaken, to remember the work that you are already doing, to remember what you do in your dream state. This is a key issue here. It is not that you need to do something that you are not already doing, because you are already doing what you need to do to assist Gaia in this time.
Well, how about that, Yvonne?
Holy cow.
I'm telling you, dear, we human beings are much more powerful than we believe that we are, and part of that is to believe it, to accept it and to be joyful in it. And that's what I would say to you, Yvonne. Be joyful in this gift because you have earned it. We have lived many lifetimes, and we have forgotten in this lifetime some of the glorious things that we have done in the past. And I will tell you that people who connect with me to work with them to bring forth a aspect of a key lifetime that their soul chooses for them to remember, I am just amazed at the gifts that people have expressed in the past. We are so powerful. And before we have been interfered with, we have done remarkable deeds, such a remarkable journey. And I'm sure you have lived on in this kind of journey also. So accept it as something natural. This is a natural thing for you to do.
So I was just thinking, I wasn't sure if there was like something that I had to do, but I'm already doing it.
Yes, and you could ask Gaia that you do this consciously.
Right. Oh, okay.
You see, right. Yeah, you could do that work and be aware of what you're doing. In the dream state, you see, what happens is the dream state's like the back door. When you can't accept something in the front door because you think you're not able to do it, it comes forth in the dream state, and there is a certain protection there. But understand, you're able to do this consciously. Just talk to her about it. Be willing.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. Now, Anya from Oregon is online, too. Welcome, Anya.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. So my question, I have a crystal skull that I got in Mount Shasta, and it was activated by one of the 13 skulls that lives there. And so I'm curious, mostly, how can I best work with it? What is its purpose here with me? And anything you can tell me also about what I'm trying to do for a new life here.
And I'm anxious to find out this, too. But before we get into that, let's ask Max if this crystal skull that you have is activated and able to work with Anya as he is working with us tonight. Max?
Mm-hmm. The crystal skull that you have, Anya, is a skull that was made on Earth, and there is, you might say, a predisposition amongst humanity to give seeming extra authority or power to a crystal which has been put in the shape of a skull. The purpose that this is serving is that it is awakening humanity to the power of crystals. And this format, you might say, is a doorway through which humanity can begin to remember the power that crystals in general hold. So, in a sense, the work that you can do with your crystal skull is really no different from the work you could do with any other crystal. We have spoken previously about the way to work with a crystal, to program the crystal through intention, to clear it and so on. And I encourage you to listen to our very earliest shows with these two for an understanding of how to go about this. And
yeah, I'm familiar with that.
It is simply a matter of utilizing these. There is not a special activation that has been utilized with your skull that you need to be concerned about in some form, nor is there a responsibility that you carry for working with this skull in a particular way. These things are not important. Rather, trust your intuition as to the kind of things that you feel drawn to do in working with your crystal skull. And that, dear one, is where you should focus. There is no defined agenda, you might say, for your work with this. Rather, use it in a manner that feels right to you. Follow your own inner guidance. That is the best guidance that I can give you.
Okay, thank you.
Don't go, Anya. Don't go. I want to ask Max a question about you. Max, that is a most beautiful answer and complete answer, but I want to go a little beyond the edge of that. What is Anya's mission at this point in time as she lives on Earth?
There are many people present upon the planet that are assisting in this time of transition, people that have incarnated to be leaders on many levels with the changes that are coming forth. That is, this transition is far more challenging than perhaps humanity understands, or indeed those that have been working with this transition understand. It is very complex, and there are many, many individuals playing a role. And you, dear one, just as with the previous caller, are doing the key work that you came to do in your sleep state. So many of those who you might call light workers, those that have come forth to, in a sense, awaken in this time and begin to undertake key work, in truth are already undertaking the key elements of the work they need to undertake at this time in their sleep state. And you, dear one, are doing exactly that. You are assisting with the introduction of the new energies to the planet, and you do this in your sleep state. And as time goes forth, you will become more aware of the things that you should be undertaking beyond this transition, because you do not need to do anything in particular before that transition. And I will add to my answer by saying the majority of those individuals that are undertaking this key preparatory work at this time on many levels are indeed from that rather special group of cherubim angels that incarnate upon the planet at key times. And you, dear one, are one of that group. It is as if by a magnet that those individuals who are searching to understand their role and who are incarnated cherubim are drawn to these two. They have mentioned this in other radio shows, and it shows up in their work, much to their surprise and delight. It has been occurring for several years, and they had no knowledge that this would occur. But indeed, it is exactly what is occurring. It is like moths to a flame, because in truth, you have all come forth to support the work that they do, and that is why you are drawn to them.
Thank you, Max. Anya, do you attend our conference calls?
I've been trying. Often I can't get there at the right time, and I've been thinking I should, subscribe to archives on BBS.
Those archives do not have anything to do with our conference calls. And considering what Max has said to you, I would suggest that you get on board. We have three a month. I would suggest that you get on board for one of them. It would really open your eyes in a lot of ways as to what the cherubim are doing right now. So you might take that as a consideration. And if you're having trouble finding that on our website, just send an email to Richard. Richard@richardpreisser.com. Anyway, good luck to you, Anya. It's exciting.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear. And we're going to move on to the next caller, which is Helen from the Bay Area on line three. Helen, welcome.
Thank you, Carolyn and Richard. Now I understand why I'm like sleeping so much. Oh my gosh. And my husband makes fun of me, and you are the only person I know who needs that much hours sleep, that many hours sleep a day. And it brings comfort after knowing you and Richard many years. It's comforting to know we're doing works at a sleep state.
How many hours sleep do you get in a day, Helen?
My gosh, I want 10 and 12.
10?
Yeah.
Well, you must be working very hard then.
my goodness. And I wish I could get this through to my husband so he won't laugh at me or makes fun of me. And but
well, just tell him the more you sleep, the better you get.
I know. I have to tell him that I need more hours for my beauty sleep. So
that's right.
And the question is probably have touched upon is about a memory that I know that we were taught that memory not only brings us event of the history, also it will bring us a skills that we accumulated in the past. So if I want to be more consciously do the work and want to remember more of the past, are we just simply waiting for the right time to come, still sleep right now? Or
I want to try to put your question a little more succinctly, Helen. Want to remember the past. You mean events in your past lifetimes. Is that correct?
Yeah, because I don't remember. Right, I remember none.
And are you asking how you can remember?
Right, how can I remember more? And more, how can I, remember more to activate more skills we had in the past?
Okay, so you want to activate skills that you have had in the past. And you want to remember those. So that's a good way to put it. Let's ask Max and see what he says.
Thank you.
As with so many things, intention is a powerful tool. And if you set the intention that you wish to remember those past lives, which will help you reactivate or remember your skills, then this will assist. However, I will say that there are people who have chosen a path in this life where they do readily remember many past lives, and Carolyn is an example, and there are those that have chosen a path where they remember very little, and Richard is an example of this. So there is no right nor wrong in any of this, and if you have a burning desire to connect with, for example, a past life which can assist you in this one to remember a skill, then I would recommend you take advantage of the facilities that Carolyn provides through her Key Past Life sessions, which are directed exactly in this direction.
Thank you, Max. I would just like to add to that that it is the soul. When I work with someone on a key past lifetime, it is the soul that chooses the lifetime because the soul knows the journey that you have taken. Have you worked on a key past lifetime, Helen?
I have not.
Well, just a thought.
But I, I will do it, and sounds great. And the Red Brain Magic with Richard and this Key Path Life. So with you, that sounds great.
Yeah, it really is exciting because, as I said, we assist people to go back in time. The soul chooses the lifetime, and the person actually steps into that lifetime and speaks to that individual that their soul monad sent forth. It is quite fascinating. I think you would enjoy it. Mm. Anyway, Helen, I love your dedication. Thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to squeeze one more in. This is the last call that we can take because we're getting up to the hour. And this is Maria from California on line one. Well, Maria, you were lucky, dear. You got in to ask Rex a question.
Thank you, Caroline. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I hope that my question will help a lot of people, and I think Max might be the perfect person or entity to answer it. And my question is regarding the microwave radiation. There is a lot of information coming out regarding how dangerous and how damaging it is to the human body. And, of course, it's been used to for creating problems with humanity and control. And I know by Max's previous calls that we can program our crystals and ask them for protection. Now, can we do something more than just programming the crystal for our protection, but can we put them close to the computer? Can we put them next to the smart meters that have been forced into our homes and also near the modems and the routers that are the ones that emit all these radiation? And so we'll really hope that he can help me with this.
Okay, let's make this a little more simple. You're concerned about microwaves. And, of course, it shows up in our kitchen appliance. Microwaves also show up in towers, computers, I suspect. And so we're going to ask...
Everything that is Wi-Fi.
We're going to ask... Yes, dear. We're going to ask Max if a crystal and an intention to be protected is enough, or is there something else we could consider? Max?
Firstly, I will say that humanity is bathed in a sea of what you might consider radiation of all types continuously. And for the most part, the human conscious experience is aware of a very small part of that spectrum. And for the most part, the existence of that spectrum that is not in your awareness is really not a matter of concern. There is a great deal spoken about interference from the modern equipment in your living environment, and much of this is benign. It is not as threatening to the human being as the fearmongers will proclaim. This is not to say that some of these are not of concern to human being. For example, the microwave ovens destroy the food value of the food that is placed in them, and these are not good to use. I will also say that if you look at the human experience from the perspective of understanding that you are moving forward into a different expression of consciousness, I encourage you to focus rather more on the unfolding of that shift rather than the fear-driven threats that might exist in this experience. I am not suggesting you should be ignorant of those risks and threats, but rather more be aware and be focused upon moving beyond them. I do encourage you, as you have suggested, to utilize your intention and to program a crystal for some added protection for interference, which is in your environment, that is in any manner threatening. But do not be fearful of the equipment that is in your environment, because for the most part, it is not a threat to you, as so many of the fear mongers would suggest. Be a little more calm about this. So there are so many things that are being used to interfere with humanity, and indeed there are particular, you might say, frequency spectrums that are being broadcast to interfere with the functioning of the human physical form. This is a different subject from the one that you have raised, and it is not arising from the devices that you are expressing concern about. Rather, this is broad spectrum interference that is being used to disrupt aspects of the human function. And I raise it because you have raised this broader subject, and I do encourage you again to use intention and to use the programming of a crystal to help to mitigate that interference. Again, do not be overly concerned about this, because the plans are well in place for all of this to come to an end. It has been long planned, and it will not be allowed to fail. And part of the reason I am communicating with you all in this manner is to, again, give you further hope and encouragement to hold on, you might say, to understand that this transition is in fact progressing, even though it may not look the way you had expected. So do not live in fear, dear one. Rather, focus on love, love for yourself, love for your fellow man, and for this beautiful planet upon which you live.
Thank you, Max. Maria, thank you for your question.
You.
I know.
Thank you so much. You know, I wonderful, and I really appreciate it. My concern was not so much for me. I do have the crystals, and I have programmed them. It's more about other people, my children and so on, and, you know, everybody, in fact. So
yes.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Maria.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Richard. Max,
we have 1 minute, Richard, and I want to thank you for fielding Max's answers for us. And I want to thank Max in a special way. He never disappoints us. He comes forth with such clear and complete answers. So thank you, Max. And for those of you who want to work with Max, you can come to our website and work with him for an hour. It will answer every question you have, I'm sure. Richard, half a minute. Any last minute you wish to, any thought you wish to tell us?
No, I just was reflecting as you were talking about key past life and so on. I was just reflecting on how our work in general is so focused upon empowering people that come forth to work with us. And the same is true of the soul origin and history readings that you do for people. They really are about having people understand who and what they are and empowering them in this lifetime.
Yes, it's true, isn't it?
Mm. So thank you, Carolyn, for your contribution and your wonderful questions as always.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. And until next time,
indeed.
This is Carolyn Evers.
And Richard Presser. Good night.
Good night, all.